Every Tuesday, Arian Daly and Keith Thompson load up their yellow van with supplies and hit the road. They're part of a mobile outreach team that brings disease prevention to the streets. Thompson steers the van onto the highway.
Like right now, we're going to Woonsocket. They have a soup kitchen there that they serve lunch from, I think it's 11 to 1. And we usually go there. I pass out condoms, let them know that the van's outside if they want to get tested.
Thompson and Daly work for AIDS Care Ocean State. It's a nonprofit that started out helping people with HIV and AIDS, but ACOS noticed a rising number of hepatitis C infections among their clients. So these days, ACOS offers HIV and hepatitis C testing and education. Thompson and Daly focus their efforts on injection drug users because they're at the highest risk for catching hepatitis C. They try to connect them with treatment, but for those who aren't ready yet, the van is stocked with sterile needles and other supplies.
I mean, we don't judge them. It's easy for them to come to us than go to a clinic. They feel more comfortable.
Well, because we're very trained and trained specifically to deal with these sorts of instances.
The population.
I think we're more sensitive and understanding.
She's talking about people who inject drugs, who might also be homeless or barely making ends meet, people who, deep in their addictions, have fallen under the radar. But she's noticed something else about them.
There definitely is a younger population, or at least in my opinion, what I'm noticing is there's a younger population using injection drugs.
Daly offers regular testing and needle exchange services at a few other locations in Rhode Island, and on her rounds, she's noticed her clients are not only younger, but more of them are testing positive for hepatitis C. While that's just Daly's personal, unscientific observation, there is evidence the surge in new infections is widespread. Brown University epidemiologist Brandon Marshall has been recruiting young injection drug users into a study to learn more. The concern, he says, is that hepatitis C is so much more contagious than other bloodborne diseases. A single microscopic drop of blood can be teeming with hep C, and injecting drugs can be bloody.
So if someone starts injecting, they have about a 50% chance of becoming infected with hepatitis C within 3 years. So that's a very high rate or risk of infection.
The risk is becoming reality, enough to alarm the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
We need to know more about the scope of the problem.
Head of the CDC's Viral Hepatitis Division, John Ward, says the agency has just funded new research projects designed to get a handle on the trend.
We need to know more about the characteristics of the drug use behavior for this population, and so how to intervene. This is clearly a new phenomenon.
Ward says he first noticed an uptick of new cases in 2009, and since then, new hepatitis C infections have shot up nationwide. The most recent estimate shows 20,000 new cases cropped up last year.
And that's about a 50% increase in just 2 years. And 17 states have reported a 200% increase.
States like Massachusetts, Virginia, and Tennessee. But Ward doesn't know exactly how big the problem is, partly because most people don't get tested.
You know, if people don't get tested, they don't get reported. And because of our surveillance system being so limited, you know, even when they do get tested, that report may not get forwarded to the health department and then on to CDC. So we fully recognize that this is just a fraction of the total population of persons becoming infected with hepatitis C.
To Ward, it's clear we're in the midst of a new hepatitis C epidemic, fueled by injection drug users sharing needles and other paraphernalia. Brown epidemiologist Brandon Marshall says clean needle exchanges helped combat the AIDS epidemic among injection drug users in the 90s, but the lessons of that epidemic have yet to be fully applied to hepatitis C.
There is a concern that new injection drug users, young injection drug users, don't know about those services or aren't accessing them. And that's where we really need to get the word out that those sort of programs do exist and that using those services can decrease your risk dramatically.
Thompson and Daly pull the van into a church parking lot in Woonsocket, just north of Providence. They're here for two reasons: to offer supplies that help people prevent hepatitis C and HIV, and to test people for those infections. Thompson opens the back of the van and sets up his mobile testing station. needles for pricking fingers, alcohol swabs, questionnaires on clipboards.
I mean, we can't stop people from doing what they're doing, but at least we can help them do it, be responsible and to be safe.
His first client of the day wants to be tested for hepatitis C. She takes a seat on the carpeted floor of the van and rolls up her sleeve.
I just need your finger.
Thompson pricks her finger and collects a tiny drop of blood on the testing stick.
See, so that's it. So hold that for 1 second. Let me put a Band-Aid on it.
In a few minutes, she'll have an answer. While Thompson quizzes her about health
risks,
have
you ever injected drugs even once?
His colleague Arian Daly preps the needle exchange kits on the front seat of the van. She opens a brown paper bag to show me what's inside.
You have your clean cookers, clean water. You can see we have ties in there. Ties can have blood on them. Oh, and then, of course, we have our two sizes of needles that we carry in our bags, because we're talking about anything where blood is going to be. You have a possibility of spreading infectious disease, and that's what we want to stop.
Just as Thompson and Daly get ready to pack up the van and make their next stop, a young woman with a long brown ponytail approaches. Her name is Nicole. She didn't want to use her last name because of the stigma she and her family could face. She's not here for the needles. Not this time.
I've been clean for 9 months.
Good for you.
Thank you.
That's awesome.
Nicole found out she had hepatitis C about 6 months ago. But it was more than a decade ago that she began using opioids, at first a prescription for the painkiller Demerol, after a C-section.
They weaned me from them to Percocets, Percocets to the Vicodins, and then to nothing. And I was sick, and a friend of mine had told me, oh, well, this stuff called heroin, and, you know, it's cheap, and you'll feel better. And I started doing it, and that was it.
Things got so bad for Nicole that she shared needles with someone she knew had hepatitis C.
Because I was sick, I didn't care. I didn't have a needle to use, and they had one, even though they warned me I was sick. For anybody who doesn't know, being dope sick is equivalent to the flu times 500. So I would have did anything.
Nicole says she got sober when her twin sons told her they didn't want to read about her in the newspaper.
So that was enough to snap me into reality, to realize that my sons are old enough to read the paper, and if something did happen to me, that's how they would find out. So it's time for me to get my life together.
For Nicole, that also means treating hepatitis C. Keith Thompson gives her the good news.
So we'll set you up with some treatment, because you know there's a cure for hep C now.
Yes, but I haven't struggled finding a place to get treatment.
We could get you in there for free.
Okay.
Don't even worry about it. Okay. I'll see you tomorrow at 11 o'clock, okay?
Thank you very much,
all right,
Keith. Thanks.
If Nicole keeps that appointment, she'll find out just how badly the hepatitis C virus has damaged her liver. And that could determine whether or not she starts treatment right away. New drugs introduced just this year have been shown to cure hepatitis C in most patients much more quickly and with almost none of the side effects of the old treatment. But they're so expensive, she won't get a prescription automatically. Private and public insurers are deciding patient by patient who gets the pills now and who has to wait. Thompson and Daly pull out of the church parking lot and head to their next stop, a public park up the road. Several needle exchange clients will be waiting for them there. Maybe some will agree to be tested for hepatitis C and glimpse the possibility of a new life. Kristen Gourlay, Rhode Island Public Radio.
This series was produced as a project for the California Endowment Health Journalism Fellowships, a program of the USC Annenberg School for Communication and Journalism.
Healthcare reporting on Rhode Island Public Radio is funded in part by a grant from the Rhode Island Foundation, Rhode Island's only community foundation.